Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
Time to get classy.
Let's do it. Whew. Yeah. So full disclosure, we're recording this right after Monday Night Raw. So,
yes.
We've got a lot on our minds right
yes.
now.
Yes.
I know Joel definitely does.
A whirlwind of emotion.
Yes.
If you will.
Yes.
So we have... Okay, real quick, just so we can think about it, acknowledge it, just to touch on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I have not watched the whole 3-hour extravaganza yet.
No, I was at work, and I was watching it on my work computer, which, you know, makes the term work seem funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to, just, like, right at the beginning of Mr. T coming out to do a speech, mm-hmm. so I didn't get to hear all of his, you know, references to his mom.
Yes.
So, I mean, from what I saw, I mean, Jake's speech about made everyone cry,
mm-hmm.
including me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the thing. I read what the, you know, touching moments, the highlights were, and went back and watched those, and yes.
Yeah.
Yes and yes, you know.
right.
Yes to everything.
So yeah, I mean, I need to watch the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
But I can kind of assume how the rest of the night went.
Yeah, no surprises yeah. there,
except for the one random Hornswoggle Nel Torito segment.
Yeah,
I don't understand why that they thought that was a good idea.
I don't know.
I mean, but then again, that wasn't as weird as the fact that they had a red carpet show for
they
the hour.
They did have a red carpet show
for the hour before the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
and a red carpet show wasn't outside. You know, getting when everyone would come in, it was in front of the Hall of Fame stage as they walked into the arena.
You know what this makes me really sad for? Stacey Keibler and George Clooney broke up.
Okay.
This is where you would have seen George Clooney on the WWE Network, if it were still a thing.
You're still sad about that, aren't you?
I'm still sad about that.
You do know she got married to somebody else, right?
Wasn't George Clooney.
I know it wasn't George Clooney.
I want George Clooney on the WWE Network. Especially not that the network's a thing.
I mean, I don't know if Tori Wilson and A-Rod are still a thing. Is that a...
Nope.
Okay.
No, that is no consolation prize.
Never mind.
George Clooney was going to acknowledge my thing that I liked.
Alright. So your entire life is around this notion that you need George Clooney to acknowledge the things that you like?
That makes them better.
Okay. So, Star Wars.
George Clooney likes Star Wars.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, because if not, then it wouldn't matter what George Clooney thought.
But you don't know that for sure.
He's a person. He has a heart.
Sir... Okay. All right. Okay. You said the has a heart line, and that fixes it. Okay. Because we have met some people who don't like Star Wars, but then again, those people do not have hearts. And we know, of course, he loves Batman.
Of course. he loves Batman.
He was Batman.
All right. But moving on, we are at WrestleMania.
Yes.
As a whole, as an entirety thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on WrestleMania 30?
Absolutely thumbs up. Yeah. A billion times better than 29.
Better than 29.
Yeah. And, like, even more billions better than 27.
Yes.
You know.
Now this, you know, when I got back into wrestling this round,
mm-hmm.
and watching wrestling as a kid, I didn't watch WrestleMania because
mm-hmm.
it, money,
right,
and parents, and, you know.
Yeah.
But watching it since 26, this is the best WrestleMania since 26.
Okay. I mean,
and
really, I feel like the only one that has come even close might be 26.
Might be 26.
Yeah.
This is the best. To me, this is the best WrestleMania since 26. And I think I've seen all other WrestleManias. I haven't sat down and watched WrestleManias, like, mm-hmm. you know, beginning to end, all of them.
Right.
But I think I've seen all of them in match chunks, match segments, that kind of thing. I can mm-hmm. piece together in mind all of WrestleManias. And so there is a lot of, you know, stuff where I'm like, I understand how that's good, mm-hmm. but I wasn't there. I don't have the emotional high, you know, this or that, you know, things go. So for me, and I will argue for just empirically,
mm-hmm.
this was the best WrestleMania of all time.
Interesting.
Yes. And I've thought long and hard about that.
Interesting.
And for me, it was, because, like, I wasn't there for 3. And I right. love 3.
Yeah.
And I get 3. And if you want to say 3, I can't argue 3. If you want to say 17, I can't argue 17.
Right. I mean, but, for me, it's always been hard to pick which one is my favorite, which one is the best of all time, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, like, 17 was always the one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, this is not indicative of all the pay-per-view itself, just, you know, the delivery system, really, because, like, towards the end of the show, I was getting super annoyed,
mm-hmm.
because we were watching on the WWE Network on my PlayStation, and, like, it got to the point where every 15 seconds, it would go back 5 seconds, we'd yes. rewatch everything.
And, yeah, that's a thing, mm-hmm. Where, yeah, we watched it on a PlayStation.
Yeah.
And there were other reports that PlayStation had problems.
Yeah, both PS3 and PS4.
To their credit, everything else seemed to work
right. yeah, yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw a lot of people saying, well done for a flawless
mm-hmm.
system. And it's like, well, it wasn't flawless for me, but you know.
Right.
And it's like, and I can't be mad, super mad at, you know, at WWE, because I'm sure they didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
to do that.
No.
And at the end of the day, if you ask me today, you know, I can watch it with these glitches and pay $10 or watch it flawlessly and pay $60, I would have taken the glitch $10 version.
Of course.
That we got. Yeah. Because, like...
Because we're broke.
Well, and it's still, like... It ruined 2 matches.
Yeah.
Ruined, messed up... Yeah, it ruined 2 matches.
Right, yeah.
And we'll get to those as we try and make our way through this card.
Yeah.
But, yes, that's a fair disclaimer.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, like, so me, like, I was having, like, these negative feelings. I might have to give it a couple rewatches for me to really make up my mind.
As we go through here, I will try and convince you that this is the best WrestleMania of all time.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's all I've thought about since,
well, yeah, know, yeah.
for the past 24 hours.
What else are we going to think about?
Yeah. Exactly. So, but, well, all right.
Like, are we going to think about real person things?
Nerds.
Hell no.
All right, so, we start with the pre-show.
Yeah.
Fine pre-show, I guess.
Very fun pre-show. Especially when it got down to Real Americans and the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, surprise, surprise, those 4 guys can work in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, well, 3 and Swagger. Swagger doesn't screw up.
Well, fair enough, like, Swagger was aware he was at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, he definitely pulled his A-game, and his A-game is that.
Do you think they gave away a bit of what happened after the match with the fact that Cesaro has had a sparkly jacket now, and Swagger didn't?
Maybe.
Possibly.
I don't know. It was solid fun, you know, kind of thing. I think the Cesaro getting the kind of pop, and because the crowd is, you know, they got the reaction that they were hoping to get for Cesaro.
Right.
I think with this, especially later, but even for this one, just to kind of like, start that build, start that momentum, and you know, and so they could hit right at the top of the show with Hogan,
mm-hmm.
with that kind of thing, that feeling, that excitement, that, you know,
right
kind of thing. So it did its job very well.
Yes, yes, yes. Went longer and closer to the actual start time than I was thinking.
Yes, it did. Yes, it
like
did.
I believe right they got him. Like right up to like 7 minutes beforehand.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it was great. We move on to the opening.
Yeah,
which I just flat out enjoyed.
Yeah,
like, and the whole thing.
It wasn't too much, like, because I was a little, I had my moments where I was just a little weary because, you know, we got word that Hogan was opening up the show, which mm-hmm. shouldn't be a surprise. I got flashbacks of the Rock pep rally before 27, and that was atrocious because it was nothing but, you know, him trying to get people to chant things.
Yeah.
But instead, this was an actual, you know, talking promo to get everyone excited.
Yes, and it was self-congratulatory.
Well, yeah.
But justifiably self-congratulatory.
It's a pretty big, you know, landmark.
Yeah. No, like, well done, fair enough. And, you know, yes, it was, there was some catchphrase bingo happening.
But not
but
too much.
Not
though.
Too, like, yeah. The Rock, not, like, when The Rock was everyone... out there by himself, he had worse catchphrase bingo than all three of them in there.
Right. This one, it was like everyone kind of hit their own,
mm-hmm.
like, but not too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said it when, like, Rock gets me, like, I can't help it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
And I said at the time, as soon as The Rock came, I was like, nope, I'm excited to see him. I can't help it.
Because, you know, he wasn't going to be in a match.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Like, the Rock gets... I got excited for all three of them. And, yeah, and seeing them all three in the ring at the same time, that's... It was a chill
and
thing.
Seeing, like, two of them chug beer and watch the other one just politely sip. Yes.
Because
he is a true gentleman.
Yes.
We've know this.
So, I don't know. It was... I would have wanted no other way to open the show.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, you can argue who the fourth head on the Mount Rushmore should be kind of things.
Andre. Or Shawn Michaels.
Well, it's not there, and, whatever. You know.
It's not a real thing, I know.
Yeah, whatever. But it's, you know, and there's the kind of thing where Austin and The Rock, kind of who was the, you know, face of that era, kind of thing, and so, but no, just have those three icons in the ring at the same time, be excited, and have a good time.
You know what would have been a fun, you know who would have been fun to throw in there as the fourth?
Who?
Bruno.
Hmm.
Seeing Bruno chug some beer with Stone Cold would be so worth it.
Wow.
I mean, we know he wouldn't because, you know, he's Mr. Wholesome and everything, mm-hmm. but come on, that would be fun.
Fair enough. I mean, no, you can, you know, throw up forever who should be there. The Silverdome thing, like, worked for me every time.
Until Lawler
is, like, the king of joke killers.
He really is.
Like, he killed
the... Is that his new throne now? You know, he's king of joke killing?
King of joke... Yes, because he killed Fandangoing last year, and he killed the Silverdome bit this year.
And he killed Goatface.
Because
that was originally started by CM Punk, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Back
during their first feud, when Brian was still a heel.
Yeah. So, no, it was just... But, like, Stone Cold and Rock and Hogan all look like they're having fun. They're happy to be there.
Yeah.
And that's part of the thing, like... There have been times that The Rock especially, like, looked like he was there out of necessity.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was happy to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that little tiny piece of me that's always going to love The Rock beyond all reasonableness.
Yeah.
And who was, like, it was crushed when The Rock didn't show up after WrestleMania 29 that, you know, and I'm like, it might never happen again, and he's gone for it. And now he's back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, and because he was back for that one night, and because he was just back to, you know, spout some catchphrases and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't have to get tired of him again. So I'm excited, and it's that little part that I'll, like, flick back, and I'm like, he's never gone for good. He can always come back.
Because he said he's... back home.
I know he said he's back home.
He's never leaving.
I know.
Even though he will.
All right. I know. Then we get Daniel Bryan, Triple H.
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, first off, I freaking adored Triple H's entrance.
Oh, by the way, just... You know, Chris is the one that goes off on like, the...
The staging?
Staging and everything. But this
staging was impressive.
Amazing.
Massive. Yeah.
It was huge. The X's with the, like, the X's being the Tron.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it was the best I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, because, you know, before this, my favorite for stage was 27. I think this kind of takes the cake.
Yeah.
I mean, I still like that like reverse ramp idea that they had at 27.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I don't know, like the way they incorporated the X's, and just how massive it was, like, because yeah, every WrestleMania set is going to be massive, but this one was big for even for WrestleMania standards.
Yeah,
and you know, even with the video monitor on the ramp, the
running ramp, yeah,
that was really great.
No, it was
really impressive.
Yeah, just the pageantry was spot on.
Yes,
this year.
Yes, including, like I said, Triple H's entrance. It was a mixture of the throne from, I can't remember what WrestleMania it was, and on top of, you know, the
King of Kings character.
Yeah, kind of thing
that he does.
It's like
occasionally,
and it's like he added a new piece throughout the years, and this was the year he kind of put it all together, and then added like the little shoulder piece with a bunch of divas from NXT.
Was that who those were?
Yeah, one of them was Flair's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know who the girls were.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay. Just, I don't know, just great match. Great way to kick it off, because this is the, you know, this was the lead-in story.
Right.
This was the thing we came to see.
And again, it was a great way to get the fans invested.
Yeah.
Not only, you know, excited, but invested.
Right away, right off the bat, very invested. I mean, they
killed it later, but, you know.
In the match.
Right.
Very invested into it. Good match, good long match. Like we said, you know, at the end of this match, they were a fourth of the way through the show.
Right.
Daniel Bryan won cleanly. I think it's a big deal, that he did that, and just, because he couldn't, it was impossible to win the main event cleanly, just because the way triple threats work. Like, you know, there's always that. So to have him win this match cleanly, I think is a great, you know, kind of lapel thing for him to have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, just a solid match, true showing for both of them.
Yeah.
I think great way to culminate that feud and send Daniel Bryan onto the championship.
And, I mean, I was expecting more of the Triple H beatdown afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, like, you know, it, yeah, there was some of it, but it was, you know, not as much as I was expecting.
It didn't need it, though. Like,
No, because he was already selling that shoulder.
He was selling the shoulder. And that's the thing, it just, it would have taken up time and, you know, three more hits on the shoulder, five more hits on the shoulder.
Wouldn't have done much.
Yeah, like, he would have come out with the exact same, you know, oh, I don't know if he can make it because he's wounded from the beat now.
I mean, yeah, really all you need is that ring post and chair shot again.
Right, right.
And yeah, and you're set.
So, next up we have The Shield defeating Kane and the New Age Outlaws. This was the first match that, for us, was, messed up by the...
Yeah, the New Age Outlaws came out, and then we heard Shield's, music hit, and then the network decided to just crap out, and we
refresh.
We kind of refreshed it, and when we came back, the match was over.
Yes.
I thought... Because they were showing a replay. I thought it was like some sort of replay off SmackDown. Until I realized, I've never seen that happen before. Like, I haven't seen the replay. Literal, double, triple powerbomb, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of screwed for us. But, I mean, it wasn't a huge deal, you know.
I mean... I
do like the new Shield masks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty cool. I'm assuming that's going to be on merch stand soon.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is fine. I mean, Shield won as it should. I'm fine with this being a squash match.
Right.
Like, you know...
Because that's believable.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and, you know, I do want the Shield to have... Like, the Shield hasn't really had, like, a WrestleMania... thing yet. Like, last year they had Sheamus, Randy Orton, and
Big Show,
and this year they have this, so they've been in two kind of matches.
Kind of thrown together.
While I feel that they are the most consistent, the best talent on the roster.
Right.
So that's no good. But, you know, I'm fine with this, and I still feel like their day will come probably individually each.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I'm only so perturbed.
Yeah.
Next up, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, this like this was the one where I was like, this is a phone-in because I've seen
Battle Royale. Yeah.
And okay.
But, you know, they paced it and basically treated it like how they would treat a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, they made it deserving of a WrestleMania slot.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that had to do with, you know, spots from Kofi and
great spot from Kofi, by the way.
Yeah. I feel like they should have saved that one for Royal Rumble almost, but it was still really good.
Yeah. Well, you know, apparently Kofi comes up with those spots like day of.
Oh, nice.
So he knows he's going to get a spot, and so he always comes up with day of, and so. But yeah, no, this might be my favorite one.
I don't know. I like the hand walk.
Yeah.
That one's just impressive.
The hand walk's okay. I still think the Spider-Man, the John Morrison Spider-Man, is the top one.
Yeah.
But this one next to that one. So I think that makes this my favorite Kofi one.
Alright, fair enough.
But just the build up, the countdown, the way
just to harp back to the Kofi thing, like the Kofi spot was so good, it made us for a brief moment think that WWE was about to give us a Kofi Bush.
Yeah.
That's how it made you so irrationally happy. All of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, because you had picked Big Show to win this, and again, we're keeping track, see who gets the most pay-per-view predictions correct, and Chris is winning right now. So I got very invested in Big Show not winning this,
yeah,
which made me very invested in Cesaro, which just made it more fun, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to rethink of who we picked of the matches that we're talking about so far. I think we both picked the same in all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We are tied now.
Right. And I don't think either of us got the Battle Royal, no, right? Because Cesaro wasn't in the...
Yeah, Cesaro wasn't a pick.
Yeah. So, yeah. The Miz streak is over. Over.
Mm-hmm.
Worst streak broken of all time? Go ahead and commit to it. Yes?
No, Fandango streak.
Of course. I'm so sorry. How dare I?
But no, this, like, I don't know. And the crowd loved Cesaro.
Yeah. Deservingly, yeah.
Yes. But you can easily find the picture on the internet, but like they did recreate the body slam. And it's just a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
Big Show wore a single strap.
Yeah. That really didn't click with me until I rewatched it today. And you know, if that wasn't the ending spot, still, you know, it's a good nod to Andre and, you know, the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen the original body slam a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
This Cesaro one looked more impressive.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, you know, Big Show isn't quite as big as Andre, but just Cesaro did it with ease, it seemed almost.
And to get it over the rope?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, it's like there's, you know, nothing to poo-poo upon it. And it was just, it was a great nod. This whole thing's kind of felt a little dumb the whole time that they've talked about it, because it's a battle royal, and I see those all the time. And yeah, you know, and the guy gets a trophy, which is really nothing. Like, it's not a belt or a title or a number one contendership or anything. It's just a trophy, so that's kind of nice, but nothing to further anything. So that, you know, and yeah, I love Andre, and I'm happy to honor him in any way that, you know, we can. Mm. But this seemed kind of like a filler match, and so even though it was still a filler match, it was a great filler match, and it was a filler match that they got me invested in successfully, and it was a great nod to, you know, WrestleManias of past, and the pageantry, the celebration of the event that is WrestleMania. So
right.
Good job onto that, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it felt one thing did feel weird because I only noticed it because Alexander Rusev was kind of one of my other picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now he clearly was not in this match. He
wasn't in the match.
I didn't really get a chance to actually count how many people were in this match because I was trying to, because you know, a lot of people were wondering who are the three unnamed people in this match, And, you know, one of them was Cesaro.
Yeah.
Don't know who the other two were.
I don't know. I don't know if they were, why they were keeping those three a secret. And, you know, and Rusev wasn't in there. And we kind of assumed. Now, was he announced to be in there and wasn't in there, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had him in the,
Was he in the picture?
Yeah, he was in the picture, as far as I know.
I mean, but, I kind of, whatever, he's on Raw the next night, so it's not like he's in trouble with the company or anything. So.
And it could have been like, okay, we want his actual debut, or, well, singles career debut, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, to be a big deal.
We don't want him to get thrown over out of a ring twice in a row, basically.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, fine, whatever. It's kind of a non-starter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we move on. John Cena defeats Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Karis, care to comment on this match?
I could have done without the voodoo bit in Bray's entrance.
Which voodoo bit?
This lady came out, she was doing
the dancing. Oh, that thing. Oh, yeah, I forgot that existed.
And, you know, and, yeah, but the band playing them in was amazing.
Yes.
That was incredibly well. The match itself, I felt like I enjoyed the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit slower,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it did kind of, you know, bring, you know, I don't want to say the crowd kind of was brought down a little bit, but, you know, it was a different energy.
It was.
But then there was the moments where the crowd started singing. They were, you know, obviously very much in Bray's corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, you know, Bray milked that a little bit, and it was, I thought it was made for a pretty cool moment. Especially whenever John did the was going for the five knuckle shuffle.
Five knuckle note.
Oh man, that scared even me
because mm-hmm.
I was the one sitting closest to the TV.
Yeah,
and I jumped.
Yeah, this match was everything it should have been. Like not to be overly hyperbolic here, but like I really felt that John Cena should have won. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and gripe about because. I think it's very easy to continue this feud onward, especially with John Cena winning. And, like, the going to hug the kid at the end was a little bit like, yeah, John Cena should have won.
Yeah.
Especially since we find out what they're about to do to us. Especially that little kid. I don't know if that little kid could have taken Cena and Taker back-to-back like that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
Like, no, Cena...
The fans would have been happier.
Well, Cena
well,
should...
Well, the rest of the fans, I should say.
You know what? They'll pay for the ticket anyway. Like,
right. Oh yeah, yeah.
If you're that smarky, you're gonna buy everything anyway.
Yeah.
But no, and
because the only bad thing about this match is because it was technically the whole Cena took out every member of the Wyatt family and won.
He did, but he didn't decimate them, and because of the story that was being told in the ring, because of the from the very beginning, and it's, you know, even before that with the promos and the leads up and the Destruction of Legacy stuff, but when Bray, like, gets down on his knees at the very beginning and says, get up and fight, that thing, it is never Bray Wyatt's goal to beat Cena.
Okay.
And so because of that, Cena winning doesn't mean that Cena has won.
Right.
If that makes sense. And they did, and Cena honestly played it off really well, the pauses and the second guesses.
Yeah.
And the, like, holding the chair and showing the inner struggle on the outside was a little much, but again, I had a close-up, and he was having to play to the
cheap seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, fine, that's fair. But, I don't know, having him win there, and honestly, just, you know, to harp on him going to the kid again... was not a, I got this, never a worry in my mind that I wasn't going to get, like, he was like, no, it's okay, and it looked like he was comforting himself as much as he was comforting the kid,
yeah.
that he was still being Cena for,
yeah,
kind of thing, so Bray Wyatt got to him, you know, that's the story being told there,
right.
is Bray Wyatt did get to him, and that's not over yet.
Right.
So,
as we saw.
Yeah, so Cena winning was... I don't think he successfully beat Bray Wyatt. He didn't defeat his demons.
Right.
There. So,
He just got out of, he beat him to get out of the match.
He got out of the match, he got away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he got away, he didn't win, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Won the battle, not the war, however you want to spin it.
Whatever metaphor you want to use.
Which is why I have no problem with him, yes, technically,
okay,
winning a 3-on-1, but because of that. And then we get to this match.
Yeah. So...
you want to go first?
Yeah, because there's a lot of frustration here, and it's not entirely because of this actual match. A lot of it was because, you know, the streak has been going for 21 WrestleManias.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First one was, what, 8?
Sure.
Yeah. So, especially when the streak, you know, started becoming a big deal.
Around 20-ish or so.
Right. Around that point, every year, the excitement was, what if this was the year?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, if that ever happened, what would that moment be like?
Mm-hmm.
It finally happened.
Mm-hmm.
This year. And, we did not see it.
Yes.
The network crapped out again during the match.
This is the second match that the network messed up for us.
Yep. Backed out of it, came back in, just to kind of refresh it. And Brock Lesnar was heading up the ramp with his music playing.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, I had this immense amount of rage pulsing through my brain. The only thing stopping me from standing and kicking things was the fact that I screwed up my knee a little bit when we were playing laser tag earlier that day. So I was already in some physical pain. So now I had emotional pain to add to it. just one of those things, like, of being a majority of my life being a fan, it just sucked.
Yes.
It sucked that I missed that.
Yes.
And I understand, like...
there's nobody to blame. It's a thing of circumstance.
Except for whoever there is to blame about things messing up on PlayStations.
Yes.
With the WWE Network. Whoever that guy is, F that guy.
Fair enough, I'll let it slide.
You know, there's no other way to put it. Now, mm-hmm. As for the match, I was not, up until that point where the network crap, that I was not feeling this match at all.
Yeah.
Something was off, and it was just slow.
Okay, well, trying to put all the network problems aside,
mm-hmm.
just on should they or shouldn't they have questions... right time, right person, right place.
Okay.
Right match to do it on, that kind of stuff.
They bill Brock Lesnar as an unbeatable monster.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, yes, it fits. It makes sense. What doesn't make sense in this whole equation is Brock Lesnar's age. You'll want someone who can live off of that high point for a while. And we're lucky to get, like, another year out of Lesnar. Maybe two.
I disagree.
Okay.
And I would have agreed with you...
Last night. Okay.
But again, I spent a day thinking about it.
And to be fair, I have not gone back and tried to rewatch
it. I did rewatch it. And, okay, here's one thing. Like, you go on, you know, any, like... of any message board that was kind of live message boarding this, or Twitter, or anything like that, everything up until that moment was, you know, was, this is not feeling this match, not, you know, and largely it was to blame on Taker. It was a lot of Taker needs to retire, it's time, it's, you know, this is kind of watching, this is starting to be sad kind of thing.
Right.
And honestly, I was agreeing with that, and I said it to you, I think this... the problems with his match are Taker's fault. I said that in the match, was like, as I think
Brock
is trying harder than Taker is here.
And also, you know, we said that, and I agree with you, while we were watching the match. Now that we know all, like, most of the information is, you know, Taker was pretty much hurt from the beginning.
Yes.
From that initial German suplex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that probably, I would put money on that being, you know, the one thing that caused that.
Yes.
And we've already established that Lesnar is not the guy who can dictate the pace of a match. Because we've seen, up against Cena, it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little slow. With Triple H, it's like, you know, snail speed. But then you saw with CM Punk, it was a lot. It was the best.
Yeah.
It was clearly...
But again,
Brock living up fullest potential at that point.
Brock Lesnar, you know, despite his not being there frequently, had a match of the year contender every year since he's been back, which is 2 years. But,
yeah.
I mean, I gave him Cena and Brock as match of the year in 12, and...
And I gave CM Punk and Heyman match of the year last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, But here's the thing where it really breaks down for me.
Okay.
One, Taker had to say okay.
Well, yeah, of course.
And at the end of the day, if Taker, you know, it's more Taker's decision than mine. And really, it should be more Taker's decision than anybody else's.
Yeah, and like, I have a feeling that's probably what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And honestly, who's to say that this wasn't Undertaker's idea from the moment he asked Brock Lesnar if he wants to go?
You know what he said was, do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Which was, do you want to break the streak? I mean, I don't know if it was, but like...
But now, looking back... It takes
on a whole nother meaning.
Right. Yeah.
So... But here's the thing. Who should it have been? Who was the right person? Because it had to have been somebody you know. It couldn't be somebody we don't know yet.
Right. Yeah.
Because you know Taker had to be close enough to the end that it had to be a name that we knew.
Of all the younger guys that I think could have done it, that, you know, they would have actually built up to it, I think, for a while, it was just one guy for the last few months. It's only been one guy in my mind. Now, I would add another name to it. Bray Wyatt or Roman Reigns. Okay. Either of those. Yeah, Roman Reigns already has his claim to fame now with the new Royal Rumble record.
With the Royal Rumble record.
That's not quite enough, because, you know, Kane didn't live off that one record.
Yeah.
And neither can Roman Reigns. Either of those, like, it would establish Bray Wyatt as the new monster,
mm-hmm.
as the new psychotic monster or whatever, or it would solidify Roman Reigns as just a beastly perfect human being. It would probably work better for Bray Wyatt, because you know whoever beats the streak is going to be an instant heat magnet.
Yeah.
As we've seen. It was one of those things where I never really crossed my mind exactly what the reaction was going to be whenever the streak finally ended. Now that it's happened, holy crap.
Yeah.
A lot more a visceral reaction than what I was expecting.
Well,
but you feel like it had to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I've always been a proponent of the streak should be broken.
Right.
Why have a streak if you don't have it to be broken?
Yeah.
And, you know, the only other thing was, I really dug the ending of 27, as mistaken as it was, but if Undertaker, you know, in kayfabe, died defending the streak,
right.
There's a little bit of like, well, salutes to that.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah. Here's the thing, why Brock Lesnar is the best choice to break the streak. A guy like Bray Wyatt, I wouldn't have believed. Like, okay. Even in kayfab, there needs to be a certain amount of time in the ring pre-Taker for me to believe it.
Right.
And as talented as Bray is, and as far as I think he's going to go in the company,
mm-hmm.
and as, you know... As much as if he and Taker got in an actual fight, I think he could hold his own pretty well.
Yeah.
There is, you, and I don't know what the exact moment is, but there has to be a certain amount of time in the ring a certain amount of matches that you've made. There's, and it's a, you know, unspeakable thing that I can't describe, but Bray Wyatt just hasn't gotten there yet.
Right.
So that if he was the one to break the streak, it would have been, oh, he just broke the streak.
Yeah.
Because somebody had broken the streak.
To be fair, when I say Bray Wyatt should have been, should have been somebody who they should have considered to beat the streak, I'm thinking like WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. Like something where, you know, it's been a few years, he's established himself, and we know for a fact that he could believably pull it off, you know? Right now, you know, yeah, we don't know that yet because we haven't seen him reach that point yet.
Right, right.
You know,
but that's the thing. Anything could happen between now, and again, anything could always happen.
Right.
Anywhere.
Anything can happen. There could be a longer streak between now and 32.
Shut up. But here's the thing. Brock's not here for a year. Brock's gonna be around for 4 to 5 years. Brock is on a part-time schedule.
Yeah.
And Brock is still fit as a school bus.
I don't know. I still say two at the most.
Brock right now is the final boss battle for anybody.
Right.
The breaking the streak is this insurmountable thing. And, you know, and Brock can never be in the situation that Chris Jericho's in now, where we're like, oh, he's kind of not that, you know, important of a, you know, thing to beat anymore.
Because he was beaten by everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brock is the streak breaker, and Brock will always have that.
Right.
And you can stick Brock up against anybody, and Brock can go away for a year and come back.
And still on be impressive, that. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Fine. You're right. Still not thrilled that the streak was broken.
Would you have ever been thrilled that the streak was broken?
Depends on the storyline, and depends the way it was done.
I
didn't see the way it was done, so I can't really speak to that.
I think the way it was done was right. Because, and here's the other thing that it does.
And again, the match wasn't that good.
But here's the thing, and why I can live with the match being not that good. We said, I think literally on the podcast before this one, I will believe that the streak is in jeopardy for Sting and for Cena, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. Not a doubt in my mind that Taker was going to continue the streak this year.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, there's a phrase in comic books. Just in reading comic books, being a fan of comic books, that's nobody stays dead except for Uncle Ben and Jason Todd.
Who's Jason Todd?
Jason Todd was Robin.
What, like Robin number two?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And that's, you know, that's the kind of like, anything can happen, you know, but these things don't happen because right. they're fundamental elements of, Jason Todd's not dead anymore.
No.
So, and that was kind of met with backlash because, you know, it's like, that's not adhering to the everybody stays dead except for...
Does this mean we're going to get a cyborg Uncle Ben?
I mean, Uncle Ben is still dead. But here's the thing. The wrestling equivalent of that is anything can happen except the streak gets broken.
Yeah. Now that's been turned on its ear.
And literally like that. And the streak got broken, and not only did the streak get broken... It got broken in the most unexpected possible match. Like, right. I thought CM Punk had a better chance. CM Punk,
yeah.
who, you know, in storyline, just dumped the ashes of his dead father on him and needed that punishment and that comeuppance. I thought CM Punk had a better chance of breaking that streak than Brock Lesnar. And this, and like, it cements and solidifies more than anything else this anything can happen attitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there is a lot of, like, this being Triple H and Stephanie's first WrestleMania, where they are, you know, kind of the number, you know, the in charge of it.
The on-screen power.
Well, no, they were apparently behind the scenes.
Oh.
More, this was the one that they were running, and Vince was always there, because Vince will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the one that they were spearheading, that they were the in charge of.
Right.
And, you know, there's this thing, and obviously we do it because we have a podcast, and, you know, it's that once you hit that level of fandom of, like, trying to find things that weren't necessarily there and try and make these connections, which, you know, you can't always do with, like, the subtle backstage segments that, you know, where people get, you know, food poured in their ears.
Oh, there goes my night. Okay. You had to bring that up.
But here's the thing. I've always felt more comfortable pointing out subtle things in the ring, because telling the story in the ring, the way that the wrestlers that do that, that are good at that, and they can do these small things, these subtle things in the ring, where I'm like, that's a thing, and you did that on purpose, and you did, you know, there's like ring psychology and storytelling in the ring that has to be done through that physical communication that can't be done verbally. And I think that Triple H is bringing that on a larger scale in the storytelling. And because that's the, you know, in-ring psychology, you know, Vince is a booker that, you know, eventually got in the ring. Triple H is a wrestler who eventually
got out of the ring.
And watching this show as a whole, his show, where he kills the streak, he, you know, kills himself, Kane and the New Age Outlaws, every semblance of the Attitude Era got shut down here.
Yeah.
Cesaro, the new guy, threw out Big Show, who's been around since the Attitude Era. The New Age Outlaws got crushed by these new guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't think that, you know, I don't think I'm overly reading into that.
No, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to say things, these certain things are coincidences. Especially when you also throw in the fact, and we'll get to it later, is, you know, the main event was Daniel Bryan versus Triple H's friends who, you know, got their butts handed to him. So there's that, all, you know, also, you know, that aspect. So again, it's like, you know, are those really coincidences, or, you know, is there something to it? I don't know. You know, but you certainly make a point, and now I'm thinking it too.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, I, at the end of the day, have no problem with Brock Lesnar being the one to break the streak. I really have no problem with, this being the storyline. Like, I complained about the storyline beforehand. But it, you know, as we've, you know, future fans will decide when this quote unquote reality era specifically started.
Yeah.
But, you know, now's a good time.
Right.
But to have that, you know, this be part of it, the,
pretty sure the reality era started at the Punk Pipe Bomb.
I think Punk Pipe Bomb will be the moment that,
that's a pretty big moment.
Yeah. I think that will be the Austin 316 moment
of
of this era. Guessing that, but yeah, Brock Lesnar winning that, and that he won that with no pageantry, with
right.
And he won it because he could win it. I don't know if that's, you know.
No. He won it because, you know, like, he was able to. You know, in kayfabe or whatever. I don't know. I'm still undecided if I am for this or against this now. You know, initial reaction was like, I'm all completely against this. But my initial reaction was based off, you know, of a tech, you know, a tech flub.
No, my initial reaction was they wasted it.
Yeah.
Was 21 year build up for this. Yeah. And no, but
we also have
to establish that the aspect of genuinely anything can happen.
Yeah. And, you know, that we also have the benefit of recording this after we saw what happened on Monday Night Raw. And right. We saw the promos of all promos.
To be fair, I knew I was going to say this before Monday Night Raw.
Fair enough. Okay. I mean, I'll.
But what did help, and again, just, you know, in full disclosure, what did help was There was a WWE exclusive with Paul Heyman, mm-hmm. Where Renee interviewed Paul Heyman right after the streak. And so Paul Heyman cut a little mini promo there, and it was largely Paul Heyman saying, I wanted the streak, and I got the streak. Mm-hmm. Which ties a little bit, without saying his name, into CM Punk.
Right.
You know, he tried with CM Punk, and then he succeeded with Brock Lesnar. And, you know, and just that aspect of it, that this was Paul Heyman's goal, this Paul Heyman's dream to end this streak.
And I mean, and if you really want to kind of thread the needle, you could say that this was all because of the streak last year. Like, Punk lost,
mm-hmm.
and he was gone for a while. He came back and he won against Jericho, but immediately started a thing with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, Paul Heyman turned on him. One could say, looking back, that he turned on him because he lost to The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he got Brock to come in and beat CM Punk to solidify that Brock should be the guy.
Yes.
And so he's behind Brock 100% of the way. And, the very next match Brock has is Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could very well make that connection.
Yes.
But again, that could be us looking too deep into it. But we can do that because it's wrestling, so...
Exactly.
Screw that noise. Come on.
Then we move on to the Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship.
As if we hadn't suffered enough.
Honestly, though, watch this match again. This was a great match. This was a 3-ish to 4-ish star match.
Did we watch the same wrestling?
You were still hollowed out from the streak being broken.
Yeah. So you're saying I should watch this on its own?
Yes. Okay. To be fair, it had the impossible task of following the streak. And that's the only thing, like, about this is, like, I don't know how you end the streak and go forth, but at the same time, you have to end the show with Brian, holding the championships. And you can't do both, and I don't know what, but, you know. So, yes, this Divas thing had the unfortunate, impossible thing of being in that slot. And yes, it was a total cluster mess because it was 14 people with one pinfall, that kind of thing. And yes, there was ridiculous things like everybody has to take a nap outside mm-hmm. when nobody pins stuff. But both Bellas exhibited in-ring prowess here.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Fox came out of nowhere with incredible, in-ring skills that, she secretly got and I didn't notice.
And Oksana didn't break anyone's eye.
Fair enough.
That's a plus that she can do that.
Tamina was on top of it.
Okay.
Tamina did a great job.
Okay. You know me, I'm not a big fan of Tamina.
I don't know why not.
Because the Snuka splash just, it looks so bad when she does it.
She didn't do it.
Well, I know, not in this one, but you're talking in general.
Yeah, but she was good in this match.
Okay, fine.
And here's, and AJ won, which is good.
Yeah.
Plus, AJ won by submission, and AJ physically made Naomi tap.
To be fair, though, Naomi did tap.
And that's the only problem I have with this match.
Yeah.
I think that AJ should have won. Because I was like, that's impressive, and I think her actually tapping took away from, because that makes Naomi look weak when you didn't have to, because AJ could have won through dirty shenanigans that were still unique enough and interesting enough and clever enough.
Right.
And weren't cowardly. You know, again, like, the big problem is the cowardly heel who wins through these, but she didn't.
Instead, this was the cunning heel.
It was a cunning heel.
Yeah.
And it successfully walked that line. There was no reason for Naomi to actually tap.
Yeah.
And they had a perfect camera angle where we knew and the ref didn't. And it was great. And Naomi tapped anyway. And I'm mad at Naomi now.
Well, did she have an eye patch?
I don't remember.
She had an eye patch, so maybe she just couldn't see.
Couldn't see that she couldn't feel the physical tapping of...
I mean, you know, extremities go numb sometimes.
So... Again, it's always, we can always, poo-poo down onto the Divas.
Well, yeah.
And yes, it was a 14, you know, man with, or woman with one pinfall, which is a mess and shouldn't have happened.
Yes. And there was so many tassels.
There were a lot
lying of tassels around in the ring.
But there were several surprising good spots in this match that made this a match worth existing.
Right.
But yeah, but it had to follow The Undertaker, and
right,
you can't do that.
No, 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 no. Which, you would think that's why that they were put there anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was, and it did do its job as a buffer between this to try and give us some time so we could be excited about Daniel Bryan again.
Right, yeah.
And then we do get to the main event.
Yes. A lot of shenanigans in this, but we touched on it when we were talking about this right after the show last night. I'm glad for the shenanigans.
Yeah.
Because it feels like if there ever were going to be some, it would happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And for Bryan to truly overcome everything, he would have to defeat all the shenanigans, and he did.
Yes.
Which, you know, this is absolutely how you build somebody to look like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put him in.
Their second match of the night.
I'm looking at the match times now. It adds up to just over 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's a third of, a fourth of the entire show.
Was a match that Daniel Bryan was in.
Exactly.
And that's from bell to bell.
Yeah, bell to bell. I was seriously questioning if he was actually hurt or not after that that powerbomb RKO combo. Yeah. But then, you know, you saw Randy, what he took out of it, you were kind of wondering if he was alright, too.
And, you know, we like to, you know, kind of throw mud at him, but Batista...
There you go, he held his own.
And he's, honestly, he has gotten better with each match.
Right.
And I just think it's ring rust.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad case of ring rust.
And just, you know, getting your lungs, you know, accustomed to being back in the ring and being mm-hmm. in ring shape. Yeah.
I think he came back thinking he could, you know, mm-hmm. go like he did 4 years ago.
Right.
And he can't, and, you know, but he's getting there. Right. Randy Orton brought his A game and, like, reminded me of the Randy Orton that I used to like.
Yeah.
The
Randy that you used to know.
No, I'm not going to acknowledge that.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, I like the Triple H running down to the...
Jonah, if you want to make a mixtape and use that and remix that, I would be absolutely glad for that.
Boo.
Okay.
The ref kind of thing.
Yeah, that was kind of a nice little slow build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was one of those things where it wasn't entirely on the nose, because, you know, you had to think for a second why him coming out and taking off, you know, whatever he was wearing, a hoodie or not, a black shirt or whatever, why that was a big deal, why other people were reacting to it. And then you're like, oh, that's right, because he was the one that did the fast count at Night of Champions, I believe.
Battleground, Night of Champions.
Night of Champions, because Battleground was the one where the bell never actually rang right for it to be over. So that match is still going on.
It's still going on to this day.
Yep.
But I also really liked that Triple H was wearing, like, a WWE Network jacket, because it's like, oh, yeah.
With a,
like,
towel.
Well, that's because, like, in kayfabe, he had to, like, after he lost his match and then had to go back and, like, be in charge of the show.
Which is probably what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that. Yeah, the table spot was spot on.
Yeah, I was trying hard not to say spot on after you just said that table spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can't really describe it any other way. You know, and then pulling the Mick Foley and getting off the stretcher.
Mm-hmm. He sold it great. Like, there was, like, a half second where I was like,
oh, yeah,
Daniel Bryan is out. Like, I think Daniel Bryan is hurt. I think they hurt him. I think they broke him. I think Chris is going to get it right with Batista, and I'm going to be upset.
I didn't want Batista to win. I just thought he was the most likely to happen.
I know, but because you opened that Pandora's box, there were a couple of two counts that I was like, holding my breath on.
And besides, didn't this match even it up for us?
This is the match that evened it up for
us. Yeah, because I know that I picked John Cena and you didn't
earlier. No, I picked John Cena.
Which bowl was the one that...
You started one ahead of me. This is the only one... Because the only other ones we differed on were the Divas Championship and the Andre the Giant.
So you got the Divas one right?
No.
I didn't get the Divas ones right.
Nobody. So nobody got points for that one.
Okay. So...
So we were... you were one ahead going into it.
Okay.
And we only differed on one.
Oh, you're just talking overall.
Yes.
So now we're tied.
Now we're tied.
Okay.
Because I beat you on WrestleMania.
In the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Main event Leonard over here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got this.
All right. All right. So, yeah. And then the ending made sense because, you know, Batista hit the big powerbomb and there comes Daniel Bryan in mm-hmm. To finish Batista off
mm-hmm.
and make him tap. I think it's so much better that he won by submission.
Yeah.
Because that's his bread and butter. And the LaBelle / yes, no lock
mm-hmm.
is, you know, his original finisher. And as much as we love the flying knee.
I love the knee.
The knee is great. The knee's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt more satisfying.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, anytime CM Punk during his championship reign made someone tap out.
Yeah.
You know? It was like, you know, someone actually acknowledging that, you know, they are better than him kind of thing.
Because
that's what he did at WrestleMania 28 against Jericho. Yeah,
Jericho tapped out. In fact, I believe in the past, since 26, three of them have been tap outs for the championship match.
26 was what?
26, Batista tapped out.
Okay, 27...
John Cena got pinned.
Yeah.
28, Jericho tapped out. 29, The Rock got pinned. And 30, Batista tapped out again.
So, 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll accept it. By definition, you're right. Congratulations.
I know.
Okay.
It's the best kind.
And then, I'm guessing they just used every tree in the state of Louisiana to make all that confetti.
That was a lot of confetti.
That was at that point, if I am in charge of cleaning up that stuff,
I quit.
Take all my equipment, take my badge or whatever, I'm going home.
Yep.
The Saints are just going to have to play in confetti next season. It's, yeah.
But as a whole, I thumbs up every match.
Because even with Shield kind of, you know,
demolishing. It's what should have happened.
They're a bunch, you know, they're older guys.
That was the amount of time, you know, that they had there for them. And, you know, they don't need to put over the New Age Outlaws for anything.
Yeah.
This should have been like a Raw match, really. And so you put it in the... But if you put in the main in WrestleMania, the Shield needs to come out that much stronger. So yeah, that's exactly how it should have gone down.
Okay.
I really have the only complaint is I would have liked the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match to be a little more
actiony.
Yeah.
And less slow.
Yes, but you know, I can hardly blame Undertaker for, you know, working with a concussion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And in all honesty, watching that match again the next day was not that bad of a match.
Right. And again, a lot of it probably had to do with us having network issues.
It was network issues, and it was that this match felt like a filler match to me.
Yeah.
My own...
And we were just waiting for it to be over for Taker to win, pin him, and go to 22-0.
My own hubris, I guess, of my own disinterest in this is, you know... Yes, it's the Taker, and yes, it's the Streak, but this is a filler match.
But that's how you get...
And not excited about this match because of the build-up that, you know, and I was ready to see Daniel Bryan again. I was ready to get to that point in the show. So, no, this match, I, you know, unfairly poo-pooed, I feel.
Right.
And a lot of you did, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Watching it, this was not a bad match. It was a good match. It was like, both guys worked it well.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see, and watching again, knowing how it was going to end, it's like, Undertaker did everything one more time. Like, he did a tombstone, he did the sit-up thing, yeah. He did the no-sell, like, flipping over the ring, landed on his feet.
Yeah.
Complete no-sell. He went up for the rope. He didn't make the ropes because he got into an F5, but he went up to walk the ropes.
Yeah.
One time, like, it was like this little bit of Undertaker highlight reel, one final show.
Right.
Throughout the whole thing. But no, it was a good match. It was really a good match.
All right. So. I mean, you know, I'm okay, you gave me a good argument. I won't commit to saying it's the best one of all time. I'm open to it. I will have to watch it again.
Okay.
Full straight through.
Fair enough. I do realize I'm...
I just didn't have time to do that today.
I do realize I'm going out on a limb.
Right.
I'm...
You're putting your neck out there.
Yeah, I realize that. You're
narrowly missing the axe. Or trying to, at least.
Of course I'm trying to.
Yeah. No, you're just gonna, you know, lay there and take it.
No, I think it is.
Alright.
I mean, for me it is, but that's because, like, this is... Since I have been invested on a weekly basis watching, right. this is the best one, and so, yes. But I think it stands as the best one, or near the best one.
Okay.
On a empirical, non-biased scale of ranking.
Okay.
I think 30 stands strong in the top 3 to 5.
I mean, yeah, obviously it is... Definitely one for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely give it that. Just because, one, the ending felt so special. And two, yeah, there really wasn't that many low moments in the show. You know?
Yeah.
And really, that just depends on who you talk to. Because, you know, a lot of people will say that Undertaker losing the streak is a pretty low moment. And equals X amount of other smaller moments or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't know. But I would argue that it's in the at least top 5%.
Yeah.
At the very least. I mean, you haven't fully convinced me, but you're leading me in the right direction.
All right, fair enough.
Maybe other people who are listening to that. Will join your ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope so. Moving on to Raw. Couple of quick highlights. Really just four big highlights, right?
Four big highlights.
And going through them. Highlight number one, Paige.
Yeah.
Thrilling, exciting.
Thrilling, exciting that she even showed up.
Yes.
And, and AJ announcing that she's going to go ahead and fight her for the title, I felt like it was kind of, obvious what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how you build a new face.
Yes.
If you want to do something special. But, and it's, you know, the night after WrestleMania.
Yes. But here's the thing. With Caitlyn gone.
Yeah.
And with me in constant fear that over-promotion of Total Divas is going to ruin... The Divas division,
mm-hmm.
Paige debuting, Paige winning the championship, literally the night after every member of the Total Divas cast had a chance to win it and failed,
right. Yeah.
Was just that they're fixing it, they're, hooray!
Right.
It's like, that's what I want, it's what, yeah, I'm fumbling for words because that's like an extra safety net.
Yeah.
Because AJ now has a rematch clause, and so she still has to be the number one contender, so this, it moves the title farther away from the Total Divas.
At least for, like, another month or so. Well, but then again, the Divas Championship is defended so infrequently.
Yes.
So this could last longer, or, you know, they could do it next week and that'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
You never really know.
Of course you never really know.
Yeah.
But bringing Paige on is a good thing. Like, you can't complain about that.
Right, and plus, Paige is going to be a face for a long time. Especially yes. For the way that they're building that. And, you know, the Total Divas girls are kind of all faces right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe Summer Rae isn't, because everyone hates her for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just for, you know, being there, apparently.
Yeah.
At least that's all I can piece together what Natalya... Her problem is with her.
Natalya doesn't like people, I've started to realize.
She thinks a lot... She thinks everything is unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. TJ is a patient man.
Says the one that drunk dialed Stephanie.
Yeah, that's the ironic part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, they're subtle on that show with their irony.
Well, that and the her dancing all up on eyebrows.
Yeah, eyebrows.
She's professionalism.
Exciting thing number two, the Paul Heyman's promo after with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Just Paul Heyman in Chicago, like, guaranteed Paul Heyman. Like, Paul Heyman's got promo of the year, everybody go home. And everybody went home except for Paul Heyman.
He decided that I wasn't good enough just and he, like, needed to outdo himself.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I need to take some time and watch both promos again. But, like,
yeah,
Paul Heyman is in competition with himself for promo of the year.
And, yeah, and I don't see anyone really coming close.
Mm-mm.
For the rest of the year. Mm-mm. Now, I would love to be pleasantly surprised, but I don't see how you top it.
Yeah. And I don't know what you do. Yeah, like, again, I'm going out on a limb saying I am fine with Brock Lesnar being the streak breaker. I am fine with this. I don't know what you do with it.
No, me neither.
But part of the reason I'm fine with it is that Paul Heyman broke the streak. And Paul Heyman is... go ahead and go into number three. Paul Heyman, Cesaro, and Paul Heyman...
Yeah.
Which means Paul Heyman is there for, you know, Paul Heyman isn't going to leave with Brock Lesnar.
In so many ways, Cesaro is the upgrade of Curtis Axel from last year.
Yes.
Curtis Axel was basically just served the purpose of giving Lesnar, or giving Heyman something to do while Lesnar is gone and while CM Punk was on vacation. Yes. And then led to, you know, the storyline for when Punk came back. This year, like, it feels more mutual. Like, Lesnar's got something to do, and Cesaro's got a manager, and Cesaro's on his own. Mm-hmm. He's got a singles career.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think Cesaro necessarily needs a manager, but, you know, of course it helps with the American audience, you know, to stick with a guy with a very thick accent.
Well, yeah, I was like, that's the thing, is, like, I've never been... shockingly impressed with Cesaro's mic work. Like, it hasn't hurt after the count to five thing ended.
Yes, the five different languages thing was awful.
Oh yeah, that was what it was. Five different languages.
Yeah.
But Paul Heyman's better than everybody else.
Yeah, I thought that was already a given. Yeah, like, so I didn't know that was news.
Yes.
Okay.
And then thing number four, the ending, we end with this kind of Shield showdown, Shield versus Triple H thing.
Yeah.
Which I assume is the kind of storyline going forward here, is with the Hounds of Justice against the Authority, which is kind of felt like what, you know... The thing with the Shield that's always been kind of awkward is that they are, you know, they talk about, they fight for justice, in a company where, as far as in kayfabe goes and in storyline goes, the most unjust thing is how the company constantly screws over its employees.
Right, yeah.
And that's just been the thing for forever.
Yeah.
But now we finally do have...
And it worked better whenever you had, face GMs.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, made sure that the bad guys always got what was coming to them.
Yeah. Well, still, even, like, face GMs... So
then having someone who's fixing the injustice or whatever, then that makes sense from a heel perspective.
Right.
You know, but when it's the opposite, you got a heel guy or heel person in charge... who's always constantly screwing over the good guy, then yeah, that's when you change.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, whenever it's the powers that be is, you know...
But I want to
see an eye-to-eye with S.H.I.E.L.D., it just feels different.
I just want to say I'm thrilled that S.H.I.E.L.D. has stayed together long enough to keep this Hounds of Justice kind of thing and turn face and go against the Authority.
Yeah. Because absolutely, yeah.
And... You know, just right now, and it's like, yeah, it's been a night, but Randy Orton and Batista being the cronies that the Shield used to be is really working for me.
Yeah.
I am fine with this concept of the Shield versus those guys in Kane.
Yeah.
Like, this is all just working for me. And again, it's been a night, and I've decided that I've seen the best WrestleMania of all time, and, you know, riding high on that, you know, standard Raw after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that buzz, so yeah. But it's all thumbs up and yeses for me.
Yes. I think you're forgetting a fifth thing that happened on Raw, and that is the true emergence of Bad News Barrett.
Yeah. Good point.
Holy crap. Like, it's not quite the fandangoing thing from last year.
Or the yesing thing from 2 years ago.
But
it's the thing this year.
I don't know. It's kind of hard because Gallus had Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, he had King of Swing trending. And that's, I don't really like that. But, you know, King of Swing was, you know, everyone was going crazy over that.
Yeah.
But then again, everyone was going nuts for Bad News Barrett.
That was the thing where I was like, I would totally believe it if somebody told me they changed the outcome of that match on the fly.
Yeah.
Against Rey Mysterio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, yeah, because Rey Mysterio hit that 619 and then went up top and stayed there. And looked at the audience like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And then Barrett came back and, you know, hit him with a cheap shot and then, or no, hit him with a cheap shot and then hit him with the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
If they can make something work out of this and, you know, Barrett doesn't screw it up too much, they could have something here.
Yes. Barrett has not worked since November of 2010.
I'm guessing that was before they overdid Nexus.
That was his Nexus feud. He had a title shot against Randy Orton with John Cena at refereeing.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, will he call it down the middle or will he call it for Barrett kind of thing. That was the last time Barrett worked for me.
Okay.
After that, no. Because after that was too much Nexus, then Core, then...
You're telling me you didn't love that chair shot, the chair spot at TLC against John Cena?
Oh, where all the chairs safely didn't hit Wade Barrett?
Yep.
Yeah, that thing. Nope. No to that. No to the Core. No to 400 matches with Randy Orton.
No.
By injury.
No to 4 billion different cuts of the Core music and none of it working. Like, didn't matter how they cut that same song, it still didn't work as a theme song.
Yeah.
Honestly, I liked what they had just before they went to the God Save the Queen thing. God Save the Queen thing didn't really quite work, but now the emergence of Bad News Barrett has kind of made it, you know,
mm-hmm.
feel like it's fits. No. So, I don't know.
I need to say, Barrett, I really think this is your last chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
because he was very close on the precipice of doing something big before, he got that injury before WrestleMania 28, I believe. Mm-hmm. Because he was, because from all accounts, Money in the Bank was supposed to return to WrestleMania that year, and he was supposed to win it. And since they were so married to that idea and he got injured, they just scrapped the idea completely.
Yes.
And he never came back the same.
Yes. So since that match in 2010, he did do Bang Bang at the Raw after last WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which made me giddy.
Yeah.
And that's the last good thing until Bad News Barrett. So please, I don't know how to, I'm sure you don't want to mess it up, but like, just really let's take a moment.
Try hard not to, yeah.
This
try
is,
hard not to screw it up.
This is it for Barrett. This is make or break for Barrett, I really feel.
Agreed.
So,
And
I'm back on board with Barrett now, so let's do it good, do it right.
Yeah, and also I think we should probably note that Rob Van Dam
came back.
Yep.
The longest undefeated streak in WrestleMania belongs
to
him.
That currently exists, yeah.
Is Rob Van Dam's.
Because everyone else's, except for his and Michael Cole, were defeated.
I'm sure there are still a couple people who are 1-0 somewhere out there.
AJ's 1-0
yeah.
now, because that was her the invitation was her first match, as far as I understand.
So, but yeah, but Rob Van Dam came back. Don't know what he's back for, how long he's back for.
It's cool to see him, you know. Yeah, it's cool to see him. He still has that enthusiasm, so, you know.
I'm happy he's happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so, all right. Wow. But yeah, that was a good week of wrestling. Like, a good. I don't think we need to do about what's making us happy.
No, because honestly, there was enough high points to
just
to cover that. Yeah,
you just feel good about it all. So. Yeah. All right.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Doing good? That's right. It's time for the mail sack.
Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. It's your mail
sack. We have one bit of mail here from Blair. He's saying Paul Heyman managing a face and a heel. Can that work? I say yes, and obviously I'm right, like always. The question is just a formality so that you can agree with me. If anyone's going to make it work, Paul Heyman's going to make it work. Yeah,
Paul Heyman can do anything. Paul Heyman's perfect. Because
at this point, I don't want to say it's impossible for Cesaro to be a heel, because he'll find a way, but it would be incredibly difficult, especially going up against Zeb and Jack Swagger.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, on top of... The crowd kind of forced him into face anyway.
Right, yeah. That was kind of the case for the last 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so the crowd wants him to be a face. They'll have to struggle to get him to heel status if they, you know, really want to bank on that.
Right.
But you can't do that by facing him against Swagger.
No.
You know, I don't think it'll be a huge problem because I don't think Lesnar's going to be there.
No. And, you know, with... Obviously, CM Punk's not going to be coming back anytime soon, so...
Yeah.
You know, there's not even a chance of him facing off against a Heyman guy.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that when or if CM Punk comes back that he'll go after
Heyman. Are we in if territory now?
I believe we are in if territory. We might as well go ahead and mention something about it. I think we are in if category now because... When's the next time? SummerSlam, maybe?
For CM Punk come
when
back?
When is his contract?
Whenever they're in Chicago again.
I think they're saying... I think some people said Payback was going to be in Chicago again.
Okay.
That's two pay-per-views away.
Yeah.
So, maybe that. But then again, we also thought that when Raw was in Chicago that we were going to get him. And we didn't.
I mean, that's the next... You know... Oh, maybe it's this time. You know...
Yeah.
And again, this can fast get into perfect time for Cena to be a heel territory. This would be the perfect time for Punk to come back.
Right.
And, you know, here's the thing. Do you think he has no interest in ever coming back?
I don't think he has no interest in, because, you know, he's lived for this business for far too long for him to just, I think, for him to just completely be done with it. Like, I do think he was burnt out. I do think he needs some time off, but I feel like after a while he's going to get an itch.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So you do think when he comes back. You don't think if he comes
back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I needed.
I know, whatever.
To sleep at night.
But you know what would be a perfect time for Cena to heal?
When?
Whenever it's a perfect time for CM Punk to return.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so we can lay that on top.
Have those in the same time. And they settle their heel face differences in a Half-Life 3 match.
Winner gets to give out all the details of the obviously confirmed Half-Life 3.
Of course. All right.
Oh, God. Only a certain people will get that joke. You're welcome, Joel. Or you're welcome, Neil. That's the name. It's late. Thanks. It's almost 1 a.m.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays. We had a great time tweeting.
Absolutely.
WrestleMania. You should join us on those things. It's a great time every time.
Yep, and if you have any questions, thoughts, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Still the best way to listen to the podcast. You subscribe to us on iTunes. You get the downloads straight to you. Give us a rating of 5 stars, and then you could maybe... You have squinty face at me. You maybe give us a review, like...
You stole my gimmick.
Don't give us that review.
You prick.
Don't give us that review.
How dare you?
These are all bad reviews, Chris. I was trying to give you something new. I was gonna, you're going to give me a review example.
Yeah. Okay, here's a review example. Classic Rigatire is such a great podcast except for Joel, who's a no-good, dirty gimmick stealer.
Heel turn.
5 stars. Hashtag not a face.
You know heel turns happen right after WrestleMania.
I know. Apparently you just did it because apparently this is the same thing as CM Punk just clotheslining the crap out of The Rock at Raw 1000. Oh,
that,
God.
Is that your fish
you
face?
You just kicked a basketball away from a small child. That is exactly what just happened here. You jerk.
Oh, $1 million man.
You just said, you just insulted everyone's hometown right now. Everyone. You just said that everyone's favorite sports team is terrible.
Okay, but those aren't heel turns. Except for
Cleveland, because they've already accepted it.
Those aren't heel turns. Those are like heel tactics. Heel turns are, I mean, kicking the basketball wasn't a heel turn either. It was a heelish move. Like,
yeah.
I'll still let you stick it in this list of things.
Okay.
Because it was that heelish. But no.
Fine. You want to really go low? All right. You are Michael Cole tirelessly cheering for Miz and dragging old King Cole rivalry into the freaking ground.
I did cheer for Miz with Cole.
I know you did.
Cole and I cheered along
with yourselves.
Oh, geez. Now that we've gotten distracted and we can't finish this podcast. Can we just mention real quick, because the Miz's video package reminded me, I loved the Daniel Bryan video package to open up their match.
Yeah, I forget the name of the band that played that song.
The Monster song?
Yeah, I know that band is played a lot, and it leads to a lot of people just hating that band, but it fit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though every time they said Monster, it sounded like they were saying Momsters.
Mm-hmm.
But I could overlook it.
I think it's my favorite video since the Miz video.
It felt like it meant a lot. Mm-hmm. I still like, obviously the Money in the Bank 2011 video package is really good.
It was. Because
it starts with, do I have your attention now? And mm-hmm. then going from there. For some reason, I love the pre-match video package from, No Way Out 2012 when it was, Daniel Bryan, Kane, CM Punk, and AJ.
Okay.
That one, like, for some reason, the music and the editing really clicked for me. I know I've said that plenty of times back when it happened and back when we were doing the classies.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't quite seen any promos since probably that No Way Out one.
That really stuck with you. Or just kind of, like, overly stuck with you.
But yeah, this one, like, just because, like, the story that was behind it, and, I feel like they accomplished quite a bit in that one. I take that back. CM Punk and Undertaker. That video package was really good, too.
Yeah?
So, best one since then, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. Fair enough.
Okay.
It's your turn, by the way.
Alright, so if you want... 5 stars. If you are listening to this on wrestling.insightpulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We love to hear from you. We'll add it to the mail sack. It is late.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
I'm going to sleep. Huzzah.